All right, well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I am Matthew Nickel, and joining me today from the wrestling team, the regionally ranked at 197, Senior Jacob Badger. So, Jacob, thanks for joining me today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, let's maybe start here. You know, it's been 2 weeks since the Pete Wilson invite. You know, how are you feeling, you know, physically, mentally, after, you know, getting a nice little short break, you know, as you head into the CCIW championships? How's your body feeling?
Yeah, definitely. That's one thing I've learned about college wrestling is keeping your body healthy and your mind in the right place is one of the hardest parts of the season overall. Obviously, it's a long season. It's grueling and demanding. But no, I really like the Pete Wilson tournament because it's one final test to see a lot of really highly ranked kids and just kind of get a test going into the postseason to see where you're at. Like I said, I wrestled, I think, two ranked kids this weekend or this past weekend at Pete Wilson. And it just kind of lets you know where you are and what you still have to work on before the big tournaments like conference and regionals come up. So, yeah, overall, feeling good, but everyone's banged up by the end of the season. The most important part is just kind of staying in a good mental spot. Just trust in your training the whole year.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel like the season's been going for you, you know, so far?
I feel like I've had a really good season. Coming out of last year, I'm starting to go on the right track for sure. I came in ranked, which I'd never done before, any of my other years, but, yeah, it's definitely, we got a new assistant coach this year, Coach Jared Head. And he's brought another aspect to the room that we haven't had before. Just so he's a very intense guy. He's got a lot of wrestling knowledge. So I feel like I've learned a lot this year, which being a senior is, it just kind of shows how much there is always to learn. I've been wrestling for 12 years now, and I feel like I'm still learning new stuff every day. So, yeah, I've had a really good time this season. I feel like I've grown a lot as a wrestler and as a person.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, the Pete Wilson invite and, you know, wrestling some ranked folks. I mean, right out of the gate, you drew, was it Bryce McCloskey from Mount Union? I know he was ranked at 197, and, you know, fell in round one, but then you rattled off, you know, four or five wins, you know, in a row, you know, to finish seventh there. And, you know, I always tell my boys, you know, your first one is the most important one, but it certainly takes a lot of like mental fortitude, you know, to not let it dwell on you, especially, you know, on a big stage like that. I know we're getting set to wrestle in state here in the beginning of March. But has that been a trait that, you know, you've learned over time, or has it kind of come naturally for you to, you know, to kind of leave it in the past and move on to the next one?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it reminds me of a tournament I had in high school, actually, where I would say it was my first time really experiencing that. similar to what happened this past weekend at Pete Wilson, but I was on the winning side of the bracket going towards the finals, and I lost a really tough match in the semis. And I was really just dwelling on that match, and I was in a bad mental space and not preparing for my next match. My coach comes up to me. He's like, look, there's nothing you can do about that match. You got to learn to look forward, have a short memory, and just get back to your stuff, because if you dwell on that loss, it's going to affect you for the rest of the tournament. And the tough thing about that match is I had a first round bye in Pete Wilson. So I was sitting for like 3.5 hours before that first match. And that the Mount Union kid, he was ranked, he had like a 3-0 record or something. So he had been hurt most of the season. So I didn't really know who he was. I was kind of thinking about my quarterfinals match already, overlooking him. And I just wasn't ready to wrestle. So after that, I really just realized that I got to take this tournament one match at a time. And that's what I did. And I ended up wrestling a lot better after that first match, just because I wasn't focused on placing or the last match I'm going to have of the day, but I'm focused on wrestling one period of time of each match.
You know, it goes a little bit to Monday night. We have a pretty small room, 'cause we have one from our club that's wrestling at AAU State, and then my son will be wrestling at Super Pee Wee the weekend after. And we only had six kids kind of in the room, and you know, we spent some time just talking a little bit about, you know, two things you can control is your effort and your attitude. And you're going to come across kids that have, you know, you haven't beat before. You know, but at the same point, every time you step on the mat, that's such a new, you know, it's, you're starting back over and you have a new opportunity, you know, and let's beat them in period one. Let's beat them in period two. You know, put that together and, you know, ultimately you can walk away with a victory. And so it's tough though. You know, when you start to look ahead, you know, it can be, you know, it's a good, bad and indifferent, right? It's like you want to envision yourself getting there. So you have to kind of look ahead to do so, but you have to kind of refocus back to the current match. And, you know, I said, everybody's getting better in the room right now, between now and beginning of March. So how much better you get in the next couple of weeks, you know, is only going to help you. So it's, you know, it's interesting to still hear you kind of say that it's still something you have to manage and learn from, you know, 12 years into wrestling. It's a great example to share with youth wrestlers. Now, how have you been kind of approaching like practice and preparation, you know, the past 2 weeks as you head into the championships this weekend?
Yeah. So, recently, the week before, 2 weeks before Pete Wilson, we had just gotten back from Christmas break and we had a little bit of time off, had the CCIW duels, and our mentality going into those couple weeks was practices were going to be super hard, super difficult, just trying to get us in the best shape that we've been in all season, gearing up for the postseason. And now we're still having tough practices, but not nearly as hard as they were mid-January, because now we're just kind of, it's more, we've been drilling the stuff we need to drill all year. We have the conditioning, we have the coaching. Now it's just tuning up small things and making sure our bodies feel good, so we can't be going 110% every day. Like, there's some days you got to ease up and just work on technique. But yeah, recently it's been just getting ready for conference. It's a lot of working little things, like I said, tweaking technique, a lot of individual work, working outside of practice with coaches, things that we struggled with early in the season individually and we need to work on. And then really just our team as a whole, I think, has struggled this year in competition, because we have one of the most talented teams skill-wise that I've been a part of my whole wrestling career, especially these 4 years at Augie. But it's so different when you step out on that mat to compete, because if you're not in the right headspace and you're just thinking too much about winning even, then you go out and you're stagnant and you don't do what you're used to doing in the practice room, because you have that weight of trying to win on you instead of just trusting your training and doing what you can know you can do because you've done it in the practice room. So yeah, a lot of it is just mental preparation, making sure our bodies feel good. And yeah, that's really it these past couple of weeks.
Now, are you, you know, how difficult is it for you to maintain 197, or is that, you know, somewhat in kind of your natural range?
So I definitely wouldn't say it's my natural range. Like, for example, over this summer, I was up to 225. That's more my, I'd say 220 to 230 is my natural walk around weight out of season. So that initial cut for me is pretty tough to get down. But then once I make 197 for the first time during the season, I stay within 10, 12 pounds. So I, like, during the season, I never get above 210, really. Right now I'm 3 days out from conference weigh-ins and I'm weighing around like 202, 203. So it's just that last kind of 5 pounds of water weight that you got to get off before competition. Because that's a really important thing that I've learned since I've been to college in high school, and before that, I never really knew how to cut weight in the correct way to make sure your body's feeling good, to make sure you're still hydrated, because it really can be dangerous. And the NCAA has put regulations in place, like weight certifications and hydration tests, to make sure that athletes are doing it the right way. But that is definitely a big part of wrestling. is making sure you can make that weight and still feel good.
So what are maybe some tips you have? You know, one of the things we talk a little bit about with our youth program is, you know, you certainly, you know, want to ensure that you're wrestling comfortably. We don't put a lot of emphasis on trying to get down in weight. You know, if it's maybe a pound or two here, that's something different, but you know, really trying to, you know, I know like last year, my son was really into it. Eating super healthy, stayed really hydrated. You know, and he was able to get down a couple of pounds, but he really wanted to do it. And, you know, we wanted to make sure he was really safe about doing that. Cause it's youth wrestling at the end of the day. But he was motivated. So we wanted to, you know, help support him. What are some advice, you know, around like doing it safely and doing it the right way? Like, what are just some maybe principles you kind of, you know, hang your hat on?
Yeah. So especially for younger kids, for youth and high school wrestling, I would say just wrestle the weight class where your body feels good. If you're cutting so much weight that you can barely stand up after weigh-ins and you're having to eat three sandwiches just to feel like you have the energy to wrestle a match, that's probably not a good weight class for you. But once you get to the college level, it is a little bit more tricky. Like my freshman year, I wrestled 184. That was a pretty tough cut for me. And after the season, I made the decision that just wasn't a healthy weight for me because I was getting injured all the time. I was getting sick. Like my body just wasn't functioning to its full potential because I was cutting too much weight. But now I really see the importance of, I would say hydration is definitely the most important part. Like there's my cut to 97 isn't the worst on the team, but there's some kids who are cutting a lot of weight. And there's nights where they either have to pick between water and food, and water is definitely the one you go for because hydration is just so important. You definitely need to have some type of nutrients in your system because if you don't have anything in your system, you don't have any weight to cut. But it's really just finding that balance of where you can cut weight to feel the strongest at your weight class, but also your body can perform at that highest level.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me a little bit, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. Some people say it's like the best wrestling movie of all time, but you ever seen Vision Quest? It's like from the mid late 80s. It's definitely an 80s movie for sure. But it's a great one where, you know, the kid wants to, you know, go down a couple weight classes to wrestle the, you know, the state wrestler, ends up doing it, you know, but some of those things. And it's just interesting to see, you know, how that, you know, movie kind of props up some of that stuff. And, you know, in cutting, it's like, you know, you can do it a really good way or you can do it a really bad way. And, you know, I struggle sometimes when I get to some of these youth tournaments and I just see these kids are just like, they just look sick, you know, because they were like starving themselves. I'm like, that's, you know, I always told my son, you know, both of them, like, you're never going to do that. You know, and, you know, if you go into college and want to, you know, continue to wrestle at that level, you know, you're able to make the choices that you want, but I want you wrestling where you feel comfortable at. And, you know, if it just means like before weigh-ins, you don't, you know, you don't eat breakfast, but you know, have some water or something like that. And that's where you wrestle at. Great. Perfect. You know, you should feel good going in. Now, you know, prior to your match, like, do you have any like meet day routines or like pre-match routines that, you know, you go through? Like, you know, some people like music, some people don't. How do you get kind of mentally prepared for the day?
Yeah, so I'm not a big music guy. I like hearing the sound of the crowd, hearing the whistle blow, just kind of taking in the whole environment. That really gets me in the right mindset. But I really tell myself, I like to visualize what my ties are going to be, what my go-to shots are going to be, if he shoots, how my down block is going to be, my re-attack. I just think about everything that I've done in training and try to imagine myself doing that on the mat. Because if you go out there and don't have a game plan, chances are it's not going to go the way you want it to. So yeah, my biggest thing is really just, especially for home duels too, I'll get myself psyched up and be like, this guy really thinks he can come out here in our home arena where I practice every day and beat me? Absolutely not. It's a kind of a harsh reality of you're going out there and you're facing another man who wants to physically dominate you. And you got to be mentally prepared for that, but you also got to trust in your training and know that you're prepared to go out there and beat him. So,
yeah, it's such wrestling, such an intimate sport. You know, cause there's no pointing fingers. Like, you know, I did my part of the job, but you know, somebody else didn't. So that's why we didn't score the touchdown. It's like, nope, it's you. So, I mean, how would you define kind of your wrestling style? Are you more like, you know, I think a little bit about like the Dan Gable quote, you know, I shoot, I score, you shoot, I score. How would you kind of defend your, or define your wrestling style?
Yeah, I would say my wrestling style is probably more strategic and methodical. Ever since I was a kid, I've been a taller, more lanky guy, and I haven't had the strength that a lot of my opponents have. I've kind of gotten used to not being as strong as a lot of the guys I wrestle, but at the same time, that can be a disadvantage, or I can use my height and length as an advantage. It's all about perspective on how you look at it. So over the years, I've learned how to wrestle from space, use my length to my advantage, do a lot of posts, snaps, sweep singles where I'm not getting stuck underneath guys. And I really try to use my coaches as much as possible during the match. I'm always listening to what they have to say. It's always different when you're in the moment versus when you're watching it, because people see stuff that you don't even realize that you're doing during the match. So yeah, I definitely say that. Even from first to second period, my coach might say something and I'll be like, oh yeah, like that collar tie is there. I can go to my single off that. So yeah, I would really say that my wrestling style is more strategic than anything else.
Thinking a little bit about like youth wrestling, I mean, what type of advice would you give yourself, you know, back when you started in your first couple of years, you know, thinking back?
Yeah, I would say the most important part about wrestling is to have fun, because so much of wrestling sucks. That's just the way it is. Like cutting weight isn't fun. The early mornings where you're waking up and having to go out there and butt heads with another dude. There's so much of wrestling that can be seen in kind of like a negative lens, I would say, that it's important to make sure you're having fun and to make sure you're enjoying what you're doing. Like every day, for warm up, we play a handball game in the room. And it's just like little things like that are really important to make sure you're still having fun when you wrestle. There was a point right before middle school, actually, where I almost quit wrestling because it was to the point where it was so stressful for me. I could barely even go out on the mat without, having a panic attack. And so my dad, he told me, just take a year. You don't even have to do any tournaments if you don't want to. Just go out there, practice. Like, remember why you started wrestling. Like, try to go out there and have fun. And that's the reason I'm here today, is because I went out there and I focused on my friends, my teammates, my coaches, all the positive relationships I've gotten from wrestling. And it really is a satisfying feeling when, I mean, obviously everything's more fun when you're winning, but especially for wrestling, that feeling of coming out on top and knowing that all the hard work you put in is paying off, that's a really special feeling to me. But without kind of keeping a positive mindset and having fun, that is really just tough to do.
You know, and what's interesting, you think a little bit about the wrestling community growing up. You know, a lot of parents ask me, you know, should my kid be wrestling every weekend? I was like, they should be wrestling as much as they want to, or as little as they want to. Like, come to practice. You know, I was like, first 2 years, they don't even need to do a tournament. You know, where they can do our home tournament, that'd be great. But outside of that, you know, just make sure they enjoy it. They like it. They love the sport of wrestling. And cause you know, gosh, you can wrestle every weekend, twice a weekend. You can double bracket, you know, some of that that's happening. You know, some kids are wrestling up into districts and some of those things. But yeah, it's all about, you know, you got to really fall in love with it. And it's probably one of the easiest sports to fall out of love with, because it is so stressful. So I commend, you know, you and everybody else that, you know, in, that continue into high school and in college and continue to compete at a high level. Cause you know, it's a lot to manage, but it brings a sense of reward and, you know, that you get and you learn, you know, adversity, you know, throughout life. So, at what point maybe like in your life, did you really feel like you started to like elevate your wrestling? Like, hey, I might be pretty darn good. I'm starting to put it all together. I mean, what point in life was that, you know, really for you?
So, I mean, I don't want to sound like cocky or anything, but I've always been kind of physically gifted. I've always been an athletic guy, but by no means would I consider myself to be a really great wrestler until my senior year of high school. I first started to see some success, some like larger scale success my junior year. That was my first time I made it out of regionals and made it to state. I lost in the blood rounds that year, one round away from placing. And then the end of that year is when COVID started. And so I was a three sport athlete. I played soccer, wrestling, and swimming in high school, and everything got shut down. And ironically, which looking back might not have been the smartest thing because it's so close contact, but wrestling was the only thing I was able to keep doing throughout COVID because I was doing like private lessons with one of the coaches who he actually lives in South Carolina now, but a really, really talented coach, really knowledgeable coach. And I was wrestling with one guy, one of my friends, who he was a two-time state champ and now wrestles D1 at Utah Valley, and another guy who was a four-time state champ and now wrestles at UNC Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So during that time in COVID, I really wrestled from the middle of the summer all the way until wrestling season started my senior year. And that is when I saw the biggest gap or the biggest jump in my performance. I went from barely making state and losing the blood rounds to my senior year, I won state. So that's when I really realized that the correlation between that work that I put in and the outcome that I had.
Now thinking back, you know, over your career here at Augie, I mean, what do you feel like has been some of your most like memorable moments, you know, either on or off the mat?
Yeah. On the mat, I would definitely say last year winning conference, that was one of my most memorable moments because again, I was really able to see the hard work that I've put in pay off. And even little things just like taking the bus to tournaments with the team and just things like team bonding moments. Off the mat, I really love my time here at Augie. So one thing that comes to mind is in the spring, they do a lot of kind of cultural diverse events in the quad where when it's nice out, there'll be, I remember one time there was like a petting zoo and there'll be food trucks and stuff out in the quad. A lot of my best memories from Augie come from just going out and doing stuff and meeting new people. My fraternity does a philanthropy event for Feeding America where we do a dunk tank for $5 and you take a ball and we sit up on the tank and you throw the ball and try to dunk us, and we donate all that to Feeding America. So a lot of my best memories from Augie have been being involved in the community because it really is a great community. That's one of the reasons why I picked going to Augie as opposed to a bigger school, because of that tight-knit community where everyone feels like they have a purpose and pretty much everyone knows each other. And yeah, I really love my time here at Augie.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I mean, you know, you're from Littleton, Colorado, kind of southwest suburbs there. How'd you land at Augie? Like, when did that conversation happen and how'd that decision happen?
Yeah, it was a very stressful time for me when I was applying to college because, like I said, that was my senior year was kind of coming out of COVID. So my sports seasons for the past year had been canceled. My senior year seasons, they were shortened. So I didn't have the ability to travel, to visit campuses. Coaches weren't able to recruit me. I didn't have a lot of game film. So it was a very stressful time. I was actually planning on only playing soccer, and I was about to commit to a school, Colorado Mesa in Colorado, to play soccer there. But then I don't even remember how it happened really, but randomly I came across Augustana. I think it was actually because of the Augie choice, because I knew that I wanted to study abroad at one point. And so that really caught my eye. I got in touch with the soccer coach, and the main reason I'm here is Tony Williard, our head coach of the wrestling team, because he took me on a FaceTime tour of the campus, a virtual tour, which got me a $2,000 scholarship for visiting the campus or touring the campus. He matched my lowest scholarship at Colorado Mesa, and he just really made me feel like I was wanted, which is something that I hadn't really felt at other schools when I was being recruited. And now I played my freshman year, I played soccer, didn't have a great experience with the coach and everything. So, and then I loved the wrestling team so much that I decided to just spend all my time and effort on wrestling. And now here I am. So I wouldn't change anything.
That's awesome. Now, I've gotten to know Tony a little bit more this year. Great guy. So I could certainly see why, you know, that was so appealing. It's amazing. Like the bond, you know, as I interview, you know, student athletes, a lot of the reason why they come here is the connection to the coach. You know, that was a big reason why I went to Augie, you know, as well. And so I was just curious, you know, cause I spent, you know, a little over, you know, 7.5, shy of 8 years, whatever, down in Denver, after I graduated. So let's talk a little bit about Colorado. So growing up there, I mean, you know, what all did you like to do in Colorado? I know you were down by like the Chatfield Reservoir, down that Ken Carl area, but you know, what are some things you like to do in Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, I love Colorado. I hope to, this next year I'm taking a gap year, and I'm going to go back to Colorado, get a job as a medical assistant out there. But yeah, growing up, I really loved just being outdoors. I loved going camping with my family and friends. I snowboard a lot, going for hikes. I like Chatfield Reservoir. This past Christmas, I just got an inflatable paddleboard, so I'll definitely be out there this summer on that. But I'm very just, I love being outdoors in nature and just kind of disconnected from the stress of the real world, I guess you could say. That really just, like, I love nothing more than spending an entire day just climbing a mountain just to see the view at the top. I feel like that's a big part of my adventurous personality, and it's influenced me a lot to be the leader that I've become just from growing up in a place like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you got to be careful on the Chatfield Reservoir out there with the paddleboard. Cause man, that I tell you what, I've a few times I went wakeboarding and tubing on it and stuff. And it's so darn congested, you know, we're being pulled here and you got someone coming behind here and jet skiers here. You know, and like a few times I took some spills and I'm pretty sure I had a concussion, you know, at one point, but, so you said you like to hike, and have you done a handful of 14ers out there?
Not officially. My brother actually has done a couple of 14ers. I think the highest one I've climbed is 12,000 feet, and I just did it with my friends. We didn't even really realize that it was that long of a hike. We just went up there and did it, and then it actually started raining and thunderstorming, so we had to run back down. But yep. No, I haven't done any official 14ers. I've been up at that elevation for skiing and stuff like that, but no, I haven't. Definitely on the bucket list, though.
Yeah, I remember my brother came out when I was out there, and you know, he was really hell bent on doing a 14er, and I was like, all right, we can go do Grays and Tories, you know, over there in Georgetown. That's a pretty easy one. Start about 6:30 a.m. and that way you can be, again, that like 2:30, 3 o'clock, you better be coming down the mountain, you know, because it comes in quick. You know, that's always been a good one to do. And gosh, I camped, we were at Capitol, which I think is like number 49 or 50th. I didn't do it cause I didn't have crampons and a few other things, but we just went up and some of my buddies did it and, you know, just camped up there. I think we were around like 11 or 12,000 feet. It was just above the tree line. But yeah, it's some of the coolest things just to get out there, disconnect and camp at that level, spend a few days. You know, it's Colorado's such a great time. Now, did you live kind of in that Ken Carl area then?
Yeah, I live, right in Ken Carroll, Littleton, about 30 minutes south of Denver. Yeah, I've always been in that area. I moved houses once, but it was when I was 1 year old, but right before my parents had my younger brother. And it was just like a move to a different neighborhood, 15 minutes down the street. So I've always been in that Ken Carroll area.
Yeah, I was in indoor flag football league at the, I think it was at the Foothill Sports Arena. They're off like South Kipling, and I think it was at 285, I think, or 235, whatever it is. But so yeah, I used to spend a ton of time kind of down in that area. And when I saw you were from Chatfield South, I was like, oh, I know exactly where you grew up at. Now, did you ever go to like Red Rocks for like a concert, or they did those like Monday movie nights and some of those things? Have you ever gone out and done any of that?
Yeah, I have been to a couple movie nights, a couple concerts. I actually work for a nonprofit over the summer to help pay for my college and sports and everything like that. And so we work at the concession stands for like Broncos games, Rockies games, at Red Rocks for concerts, Fiddler's Green, a bunch of different venues like that. So yeah, I've spent a good amount of time at Red Rocks, and even just hiking in the area too, not necessarily in the amphitheater. But yeah, that's literally like 15, 20 minutes from my house, so I'm very familiar with that area.
Did you ever go there and like run stairs on Sundays?
Yeah, we every year for preseason for soccer, our coach would take us up there, and we would run the stairs, and then we'd have a back down across the street. There's a trail where we had to run the trail too. So yeah, I'm familiar with those stairs for sure.
Yeah, it was, when I got introduced, I was like, I'm gonna go do that. I had heard about it. It's amazing how many people are there working out. Saw people box jumping those like garden pillars on the side. I'm like, that's a good 5, 5.5 feet.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I used to love to go up and like sprint up the stairs, and then you'd tell folks, oh, I just went and ran stairs at Red Rocks, and like, oh, it's not that long. But it's like, I think if you do every rung, it's like 1.5 miles like up and then 1.5 miles down. What was like your favorite like movie that you saw there?
My most memorable one was The Sandlot. I went there. They would show it every year around the same time, and me and a group of friends would go up there every year for I don't even remember how many years, but yeah, we'd always see The Sandlot right at the end of school year, right before the summer starts. Is always a great time, good weather, and I mean, you can't beat classic like The Sandlot, so.
It's such a cool thing because they usually have a band that does a short set, then like a comedian or something. They always start off with the Looney Tunes, cartoon, and then they do the movie. I remember I went to Back to the Future, and I parked. I was coming around on top, and there's actually someone there that had the DeLorean, windows up, and all that stuff was kind of parked. So that was, I remember that one was pretty cool. Yeah, it's such a cool thing. Now, do you mountain bike much out there?
I do actually. Yeah, that was one thing I got really big into over COVID. One of my best friends back home, he worked at a mountain bike shop like 5 minutes from our house, and so he was able to get us some very expensive, probably out of our league bikes. And we went up to Bailey a couple times, Winter Park, and we would just ride the terrain parks there and around our house too, over in the Deer Creek Valley area. But yeah, I got big into mountain biking over COVID for sure.
Now, at Winter Park, were you doing the downhill where the ski lift would take your bike up, you grab it and then come back down?
Yeah, I have done that a couple times. When I was a little kid, my dad was a big mountain biker too, so he would do races up there. And one of my I'm not it's not such a fond memory of Winter Park, but one of my most vivid memories of Winter Park is we were going up there. I was probably about 10 years old, 10 or 12, and it was right before my dad's mountain bike race. And I just got up there, I got my mountain bike, I was going to go on the kid terrain course. I was so excited. And I was riding my bike around the parking lot and tried to drift my bike, and I just ate it and fell right on my knee and had to get stitches in my knee, which ruined my whole weekend. So not a great experience, but overall, I love Winter Park. And yeah, that ski lift is awesome.
I mean, I remember a buddy of mine came up. It actually was my roommate from Augie. He came out and we said, hey, let's drive up to Winter Park. Let's rent some bikes, you know, up there for the downhill. So we got some full suspension and went up, and you know, we were just, you know, we went down it a ton. And I just remember the last run of the night, I was like, hey, I'm gonna go do this run instead, and ended up on the back side of it, and I was like downtown Winter Park, and I'm like, oh crap, I'm literally south and I was supposed to go north, you know, type of thing. And I just remember having to like bike back up the mountain on like one of the like side service roads and then come back down. And I was late. I was well behind when they were supposed to have shut, and they were not very happy with me. But I should remember that like it was yesterday. Now, so you said when you graduate, you know, your plan is to move back and, you know, kind of a gap year. Now, as a biology and Spanish major, I mean, what are you planning to do like after that gap year?
Yeah, so my gap year isn't so much of a gap year. I'm still going to be working. I'm looking to get a job as a medical assistant right now in the Littleton area. I'm going to work there for a year to get patient care hours. And then my end goal is to apply for PA school, physician's assistant. And that'll be the kind of final step of my career path. But yeah, PA schools typically are two to three year program. And a lot of them require up to like 2,000 to sometimes even 4,000, which can be a full year of pretty much a full-time job as a medical assistant of just patient care and getting that experience before you can even apply. So that's my next step once I move back to after Augie.
Are you going to try and stay in Colorado then for that, or what schools are you going
to
be looking at?
So I definitely will apply to PA schools in Colorado. Colorado has not a whole lot of variety, but the PA schools in Colorado, Red Rock, CSU, I believe Mesa has one. They're very, very prestigious PA schools. So I will apply there, but I'm definitely looking to apply in other places. I'm thinking about Montana, Nashville area. I have family in Texas and Washington. I have family really all over. So I'm going to apply to definitely a bunch of different places because PA school is so competitive to get into, and probably end up going where I get accepted. And then,
yeah. Well, I like it. You know, I was just looking before we came on here. Now, you had an internship in 2023 in Costa Rica. Tell me about that. That looks super cool.
Yeah, that was, away from campus. That was, well, even in campus too, that was probably my favorite Augie memory. I found out about it pretty late. The application deadline was February of 2023, and I found out about it around December or January. So it was a really quick turnaround, but it was really perfect for me as a biology and Spanish major because it was a healthcare oriented in a immersive Spanish environment. So I lived with a host family for 4 weeks. My host brother was awesome. He was big into UFC like me. He took me to a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym, I guess. And we did like sparring and striking and some BJJ. And he took me surfing. But then during the weeks, I was shadowing a doctor in the private healthcare sector who was originally from Colombia, and she worked as a emergency responder there in Colombia. So she'd seen some pretty crazy stuff, and she was awesome. She taught me so many incredible things. The healthcare guidelines as far as like HIPAA and all that goes are a little bit different in Costa Rica, so I was able to be a lot more hands-on than I would have in the States. Even without any certifications or medical licenses like that. It was an all around great experience. One of my favorite times I've had at Augie, so much so that this upcoming summer, I still have to work out the details, but I'm working to go on a mission trip to El Salvador, to build houses in an underprivileged community. and just kind of keep continuing my Spanish and helping those communities like I did in Costa Rica, which I really loved.
All right. Well, it's hard to top that. So I think we'll end on that note. That's pretty cool. Jacob, appreciate, jumping on today and, talk to not only just wrestling, but gosh, mountain biking and trips to Costa Rica and all the things in between. So it's been a good time. So again, appreciate you hopping on to connect with me today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed our time.